Before I start today, a lot of folks come up here and say what class they're in. They're in the freshman class or sophomore class. And I want to give a shout out to the folks who aren't really giving a shout out that much. And that's the sophomore sitting in the balcony. I just want everybody to give them a hand. I was thinking up here, if I come up here and say I'm in the sophomore class, and you know, the folks down here in the middle will clap, but it always leaves the folks up on top hanging. You know, nobody, I don't ever want to clap, you know, because everybody will know I'm short of being a sophomore. But praise the Lord for all of y'all. Y'all aren't forgotten. We love y'all. Praise Jesus. So, most of y'all know me. I'm Philip Mullins. I'm a member of the sophomore class, the fearless class. I'm from the great state of Alabama. If y'all know me too, y'all know how much I love Alabama, how much I love Alabama football, how much I love food from Alabama. This season in Advent has been a huge season of waiting for me. I've been waiting for the SEC championship for a long time, for Alabama to be in the SEC championship. So we're looking forward to that game this weekend. Blake Englehart, if y'all know Blake, came to my room the other night, told me he had a dream that Alabama dominated Florida, and the Lord definitely speaks in dreams and visions. So praise the Lord for that. But before we get started, it's a blessing, you know, to have student chapel. I love having student chapel. It's an awesome way to get to know people's hearts, to get to know what the Lord's done through them and what God's put on their heart. I came to know James last year in the great program we have here at Asbury College, Transition and Guidance. I was in Tag Group 13. One of the first week I was here, I met James, and I definitely feel like the Lord uses relationships as confirmation that we are where we're supposed to be. And just knowing James, man, I definitely feel like that. You know, it just confirmed that, you know, the Lord did call me here to Asbury, knowing, you know, having those good genuine relationships. So anyway, it's a pleasure to introduce James Terrell. Some of you might know him as the fellow who fell in chapel up here last year on his face. Others of you all might know him from the Facebook bromance that was in the Collegian last week. If any of you all read that article, I'm sorry. We're broken people, and I'm sad that you all did hear that. But anyway, as I've gotten to know this guy, I'm really, you know, the more you get to know people, you realize that we're all broken and we're all in need of Jesus. We're not as funny as we think we are, not as cool as we think we are. And that's definitely, the more James and I get to know each other, the more we realize that we're just broken guys. Needing the love of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:11, no other foundation can be laid than that which is Jesus Christ. And I know that's the truth in our lives. And, you know, I get pumped up for Alabama football, you know, just waiting for the game. But the Lord, I was feeling it last night. You know, I think about it all week. It's hard to focus on my schoolwork. I'm excited for a game. But I pray that the Holy Spirit will bring that kind of excitement and anticipation for the coming of Jesus and the coming of his kingdom here on earth. Because Alabama, there's a chance. I know we're going to win, but we might lose this weekend. But Jesus is faithful, and he is coming. And he is coming to redeem his people and to bring his love to his children. So anyway, without much further ado, here's James Terrell. So.
Hello. Hey, how's it going? It is cool. Well, since Phil already gave me an introduction, I didn't really plan something to make you guys laugh really hard so that you like me or something like that. So I'm just going to jump into what the Lord has been laying on my heart the last couple weeks after David asked me to speak. And I really believe that it's a message that is going to speak to a lot of y'all's hearts, and it's been really working me over the last couple weeks, so I'm really excited. And so I'm going to jump in. I have to get my notes out of my pocket. Just kind of start off with a story about myself, about my life, for the first 18 years of my life, who I was, and where I came after I graduated high school. About when I was 10 years old, I grew up in a Christian home. My mom and dad both loved Jesus so much, and they've loved me, and they've done a great job, I guess. And I mean, you know, but I mean, around 10 years old, I started to develop this habit inside where I got really good at lying to people. And whenever I wanted to get my way, to manipulate a situation, I just started to learn. I was able to lie straight to people's face, look them in the eye, and say something that was not true and be totally numb about it. I developed that, and I got really good at it. And, you know, I was able, in high school, whenever I wanted to do something, like if I wanted to lie to a teacher, my parents, my brother, my sister, I was able to do it without any conviction at all, and it made my heart really, really hard. And everyone thought in high school, everyone thought that I had it all together in high school, like for real. Everyone, like if people didn't think like I was the man, like my confidence, everything that I was driving for, my confidence came from what people thought about me. Like, if people thought I was the man, I was like, okay, I have it all together and stuff. And when people didn't think I was funny, or they didn't think that I was that spiritual leader that I made myself out to be, I'd be like, okay, something's wrong with me. I got to make people laugh or something, because I wanted everyone to like me. And if they didn't like me, something was wrong with me. But everyone thought I was really close with the Lord, and I had it down. It was awesome. I made people think that I was a spiritual leader in my class. I went to a private Christian school. The kid that led worship in chapel or whatever, who knew how to pray really good and whatever. But there's nothing going on in my heart between me and the Lord. Fast forward to when I graduated high school. I went to an internship called the Honor Academy with Teen Mania Ministries. And has anyone heard of Acquire the Fire in here? Raise your hand. All right, cool. Yeah, it was an internship along with Acquire the Fire. It was a year-long internship, basically for high school kids, once they graduated high school, to go into this internship to become just closer with the Lord and a leader in our generation, and really just kind of taking a deep breath after high school before you go out into the world and stuff. And I went there carrying all that with me from high school. Like, I was going, I mean, like, I don't want to make my parents feel bad or anything if they're listening to this, but like a lot of the reason I went there is because my brother and my sister both went. They graduated the Honor Academy, and you know, I wanted to be that spiritual leader. I wanted to be that guy my parents raised me to be, even though I didn't feel like it. Even though I knew there was nothing between me and the Lord, I really wanted to go there, and maybe something could come out of it. And I'm not going to go into all the details about the Honor Academy because I don't have enough time, and I want to go into some other stuff. Basically, it's an extremely strict internship. You go in there, and they want to separate you from the things of the world so you can be like consecrated. No secular music, no R-rated movies, no like relationships, romantic contact for a year of your life. They ask you to set apart that. One of the biggest things for guys, and let me clarify this, 15 to 20%, there's about 500 interns, 15 to 20% actually get dismissed or leave by the end of the year, because it's really hard. And if you break a rule, it's called the Honor Academy, they teach you a system of honor. If you break a rule, you come forward and you say it, whether you get dismissed or not. One of the biggest rules for the guys was, don't look at pornography. And if you do, don't lie about it. If you break a rule, don't lie about it. Come forward and say it in front of everyone, and in front of people, be real with people. And we'll forgive you if you come forward, but don't lie about it. And I had developed this habit of caring so much what people thought about me. Not what the Lord thought about me. I was using the Lord as a pawn to make myself look really good. There was nothing going on in here. But you know, I never thought that was what that, you never think, oh, I feel really bad for those people that are going to get dismissed, but that's never going to happen to me. And over Christmas break, I went home, and I was real excited. I was going to show everyone how much I had changed and how much I had gotten closer with the Lord and stuff. I made it like 4 days, and all through high school was something I struggled with. Like, I'm going to be honest with you guys. Something I struggled with all through high school. I made it 4 days into Christmas break, and I looked at pornography one night. And as soon as I did that, I shut off my computer. I'm like, no way, that did not just happen. That did not just happen. I'm not going to tell anyone. If I tell someone that I just did that, what is everyone going to think? What are my parents going to think if I get dismissed from the Honor Academy? Ben and Elisa both graduated. Why can't I? What is my core going to think about me? The guys that I live with, What are my, like the girls and like my sister corps at the Honor Academy, everyone's going to be thinking, James, what happened? I thought you were so awesome. Why'd you have to go screw up? And when I got back, there's people asking me, hey, dude, how was Christmas break? If anything happened, I want, like, just let us know. Like, tell us right now, did anything happen, and we'll take care of it and stuff. People that I trusted, one of my best friends at the Honor Academy, Mike Ivers, I looked at him in the face. He was my accountability partner. I told him everything. I looked at him in the face. I said, no, man, everything was good. Nothing happened. Praise the Lord. My RD, who I was so close to and who loved me, I looked at him in the face. And I'm like, Brian, dude, everything's cool. Man, praise the Lord, nothing happened. And three other people, totally numb, I looked at them in the eyes, who loved me, who just wanted to help. I said, nothing happened. I made it about 3 months before I said anything to anyone. And in those 3 months, I was in torture, utter torture, because for this reason, Jesus loves me too much to let me hide from my sin. He loves me way too much to let me be someone that I'm not, because he's pursuing me and he's pursuing you. And I know what it's like to have something that you're hiding. And the Holy Spirit, I was under so much conviction. I couldn't focus on anything. I was fake. I was depressed. I was just like, it was the worst 3 months of my life. And I finally came forward and I confessed what I did, because the Lord spoke to me. He spoke to me so clearly. He was like, do you really care more about what these people think about you, about what your parents think about you, about getting dismissed from the Honor Academy, or do you want to be right before me? Do you want to be right before me? Because my whole life, I wanted to be right with God, but I had no idea because I was so fake all the time. I was so worried about what people thought about me. And I was like, God, there's no way that you can love me after this. I felt so dirty. I was like, God, I'm a failure. All I've done is been fake with you. I've used you. I've used other people. There's no way you can love this. I'm selfish. I'm prideful. I'm rebellious. You don't love this. I don't even love this. After I confessed, I came forward and I told everyone, and it was the most freedom that I've ever felt in my entire life. I came forward and I said, what I had done, and I looked at people, I'm like, I lied straight to your face, and I'm sorry. I'm probably going to get dismissed, but I need to tell you that, because I want to be right with Jesus. And they forgave me. They didn't dismiss me. They allowed me to stay. But that started me on a journey of learning about how Jesus felt about me in a completely new way that I had never known in my entire life. See, because up until that point, I felt the only way that I could be loved by Jesus is if I fixed myself, if I cleaned myself up enough, then maybe he might desire me. And I want to tell you guys today that if you're struggling with stuff, if there's stuff going on inside your heart that you know is wrong and that you want to be right with Jesus, but you know that you're just like, God, you can't love this. Maybe once I fix myself, maybe once I stop sleeping with my girlfriend. Maybe once I stop drinking on the weekends. I know it's wrong in Asbury, but I can't stop. Maybe if I stop smoking weed, whatever. Maybe then you'll love me, but until then, I know you don't. And let me tell you something. This is a truth that was a revelation to my heart. That's never going to happen. It's never going to happen that you fix yourself enough that God desires you. Because he desires you now. He desires you as you are. You are not going to get yourself good enough so that he wants you. It doesn't matter that your parents got divorced. It doesn't matter that you got abused when you were a kid. It doesn't matter that you lost your virginity when you were 16. Because the Lord has chosen you. He's chosen you as your kid. And if you want to disqualify yourself from his love because you don't think that you're good enough, then disqualify the whole earth. Because we're not good enough. Look around, y'all. We're messed up. We're broken people. We're broken, and we try to act like we have it all together, right? And nothing's going on, and like, man, I thought I got it all good. Man, praise Jesus. How's your day? Oh, it's good. How's your day? Good. See ya. And we're so afraid to be vulnerable with each other and vulnerable before the Lord because we're so afraid of what He thinks about us. I think one of the biggest problems about us being able to accept the Father's love is because of what the Bible calls the accuser of the brethren, the enemy. And if you're hearing quietly, God doesn't love me like that. That's the accuser of the brethren. And there's freedom from that. You know what the freedom is that you fill yourself with the way the Lord feels about you. To know that He desires that you know His love beyond comprehension. That He says that you're His lover. He says that you're that you're beautiful. That with one glance of your eyes towards Him, you've ravished His heart. And so when you hear like, man, people tell me that God loves me, but they don't know who I really am. That's the accuser of the brethren. And you say no, because God desires me. You answer back with scripture and you tell the enemy to leave in Jesus' name. And I think that a big problem also that I was doing is that I was comparing myself with everyone else around me, making sure that I was up to par with everyone. That like there's this vision that someone shared a couple years ago at a conference that I went to of them on this running track, and she was like, I was on this running track with all these spiritual giants next to me that I looked to my left and I looked to my right, and I was just like, Lord, how can I beat these people? I'm on a run, but it's never going to happen if I try to run because these people are so much faster than me. And then she said this. She said a tunnel in this vision that the Lord gave her. She said a tunnel formed over her lane, and she could only see Jesus at the finish line. And He said, Jennifer, run your race before me. Run your race before me. Don't look to your left or to your right, but I'm cheering you on. I'm saying, run your race. He knows your name. He knows your frame. He formed you in secret, you guys. He knows your heart. He knows the depths of your heart because He's seen you in your darkest hour. He's seen you at your worst when no one else, the stuff that no one else knows about, He's seen it. And He still says, I desire you. He still says, I want you and I'm longing for you. But you have to say yes to my love. You don't have to earn it. It's a gift. It's a gift. Don't disqualify yourself, y'all. Don't disqualify yourself from His love. It's a free gift and He wants it so much. I think a lot of us, when we hear that God is our Father, He loves us, all we can think about, I think for a lot of people, that the word Father does not bring warm feelings. It brings hurt and it brings discouragement. And it brings just a lot of just hateful thoughts come up. Because honestly, a lot of us haven't been loved by our fathers like we should have been loved by our fathers. And I think that Jesus wants to say to you guys today, plain and simple, we've heard it a million times, but to say God loves you is so numb to us. Our hearts are so hard about it. Like, yeah, great, I know God loves me. Thank you. Bye. But as simple as it is, this is what Jesus was speaking to my heart that He wanted me to say to y'all. I am your Father, and I love you, and I'm pleased with you. You are my daughter, and I love you, and I'm pleased with you. Don't try to make yourself better so that I love you, because I desire you now. I want your whole heart now. Guys, let Him love you. Don't disqualify yourself. Let Him love you and let Him pour His heart out on you. And that's what causes you to step out of addiction. That's what causes you to step out of the shame that you're in. It's not your own. You can't do it by yourself. You have to let Him love you and you have to say yes to Him. But that's what I can't do for you. You have to do it. You have to say yes to God. You look at David, you know, I mean, 1,000 years ago, this is the guy that he slept with some guy's wife. He sent him into battle to be slaughtered. He himself slaughtered thousands and thousands of people. And 1,000 years later, we know him as the man after God's own heart. What? This is the guy that screwed up. He royally screwed up more than once. But you know what he kept doing? He kept on saying, yes, 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 I know that I'm screwed up. I know that I'm a brute beast before you, but that's when God wants you. He doesn't want you to run when you screw up. He says, run to me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and I'll give you rest. A lot of voices have been talking to y'all about the way God feels about you. But I would ask you this morning that you would listen to God's voice. You'd listen to it. You'd be able to close your eyes and say, and listen to him say, you are my daughter. You are my son. You are mine, and I've chosen you. And I love you. Plain and simple. It's true. Accept that. I'm going to ask the band if they want to come back up. You know, it's really easy. A lot of times we just come in here, wait for the speaker to be over, then we head out. But I think there's a lot of y'all here that you've been hiding. You've been hiding who you are between other people and between the Lord. And I feel like the Lord wants to speak to you guys this morning, individually. So the band, they're going to transition into a little bit of ministry time. Y'all, don't leave the way you were. Don't leave feeling like you still are inadequate for his love. If you want to go share with someone about what's been going on, take the opportunity, y'all. We have people who love Jesus all around us, next door to us, whatever, and we're still fake. But y'all, you can be real before the Lord today. Healing can happen today. So I'm going to pray with y'all, and then the band is going to do some ministry time. Don't leave today the same. I urge you. So Father, Lord, I ask more than anything that you would have spoken through me today. Lord, that I would have spoken to people's hearts, that my vulnerability would have touched people's hearts, Lord, that they could be real before you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the way that you love us, Lord, and you don't stop loving us. No matter how weak we are. Because in our weakness, you make us strong. So God, would you speak to hearts, God? Speak to hearts, Father. Soften the hardest heart in here, God. I ask you. In Jesus' name.